It was on March 2nd, 1962, the Philadelphia Warriors took on the New York Knicks. It was a game that was somewhat unremarkable on the schedule, with the exception that the game was not played in Philadelphia, nor in New York, but in Hershey, Pennsylvania. This was not unusual for the times, as the association was playing in other cities to drum up interest. The Hall of Fame voice of the Philadelphia Warriors was Bill Campbell.
Well, the NBA was a different world than it is now. We played 7 or 8 games at Hershey, and while they were legally considered home games for Philadelphia, they really amounted to a away game. It took the home court advantage away for the guys because it was a bus trip. It was a 100-mile trip up and back, and actually, I think the road teams probably were playing on a neutral ground. It was a bad break for the guys in Philadelphia.
We spoke with Wilt in a Warriors special broadcast years ago, the night Wilt Chamberlain scored 100. And Chamberlain had a premonition earlier in the day that he was going to be shooting just fine.
We get to Hershey about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They were in the hotel supposed to go to and stay in, because we didn't do those kind of things in those days. We went straight to the arena where we had to wait around for 5 or 6 hours for the game. But having to be in this arena, they had a shooting gallery, a little penny arcade, so some of the guys went there, and I started shooting rifles and so on and so forth, and I couldn't miss anything. So if there was ever a clue that I was going to have a high day, this was definitely the clue.
At halftime, it was a high-scoring game, and Chamberlain had 41 points at the break. But Warriors exec and then Warriors guard Al Attles said that inside the locker room, it was no big deal.
We had no idea, and you have to remember that we had played with him when he had scored big numbers, and of course, you know, the 78 points were in triple overtime, but it wasn't anything strange to us to have him scoring big numbers, and 41 was, you know, maybe gets 20 more in the next two quarters, and he's got 61, so what's the big deal? So, it wasn't anything that really alarmed anybody in the locker room that night.
But the second half began, and Wilt's point numbers began to pile up. The game was going back and forth until Wilt's numbers really began to increase. Defense was not the highlight for either team. Daryl Imhoff, the Cal Bear great, was one of the three players that New York had assigned to guard Wilt that night.
Wilt, as obvious by Cleveland Buckner's 33 points, Wilt wasn't paying a lot of attention to the defensive end. It was a very offensive game, as accounted for by the final score. And Wilt was doing an awful lot of taking off and running down the floor. And of course, he did have foot speed, and in the right situations, he could make himself available, and he did quite a bit of that in the third quarter.
But Wilt was not just getting layups or dunks. He had game, as they say. Al Attles remembers that Wilt was a multi-talented offensive player.
Contrary to what people may have thought, he didn't just dunk the basketball. Wilt had an outstanding bank shot off the board, and he was able to go. In fact, most teams tried to play him that way so he wouldn't turn in. And we used to get a little upset about it because we liked him turning into the basket, obviously. But he would take that bank shot, and some nights he would get going on that shot, and it would be almost impossible to stop. So I kind of think that may have been what happened. But I don't think it was just a matter of going inside, him going and dunking the ball over Willie or Cleveland.
Chamberlain and his teammates, the New York Knicks, and those who were in attendance that night started to get the feeling that they were watching something really special.
Well, you know, I tell you, I really had a good first half shooting the basketball, you know, and then in the second half when I became the gunner, my percentages and everything kind of went down, and people started, like, you know, yelling that they want 100, and I kept saying to myself, 100, then that satisfied with 80, you know, but it was, you know, I tell you what, when you do things of that particular nature, what's happening, sometimes you don't realize exactly what it is that you're doing.
2 months previous, Wilt had scored 73 points against the Chicago Bulls. And the record for the association, of course, was Wilt's, a 79-point effort against Los Angeles back in 1961. But that game took 3 overtimes. The scorer's table in Hershey, though, knew he was close to that mark. Once again, Al Attles.
I think when he got up somewhere in late third quarter, fourth quarter, Dave Zinkoff, who was the announcer, was now starting to call every point.
On the PA, they're announcing the new record of 79. And during the announcement, Chamberlain goes right ahead through the announcement and makes a foul. They're still making the announcement. He makes another foul. Chamberlain didn't even listen to it. He just made 2 straight fouls. He now has 81 points.
He would go, now that's 83 or that's 85. Then I think there was a conscious effort to try to get him 100.
So now everyone knows, including the New York Knicks, who begin to foul Chamberlain. But Wilt, a notoriously poor free throw shooter, would miss only 4 in 32 attempts that night. So he was, in a sense, unstoppable.
Well, you know what? Listen, first of all, whenever people say, well, who'd you play against when you scored 100, and I say the New York Knicks, they say, well, who was guarding you? And I mention guys like Darryl Imhoff. And they always say, well, Darryl who? And so on and so forth. Well, Darryl, number one, was a great defensive basketball player, college and in the pros. And, you know, it's kind of a heck of a saddle to carry around on you your whole life that some guy scored 100 points against you. And it was against Darryl, it was against the New York Knicks. But no one ever says anything about the fact when he outscored 55 rear rebounds against the great Boston Celtics and the greatest of all, Bill Russell. You know, if you're hot, you're hot. It doesn't make any difference who the heck you're playing against. I thought one thing for sure, though, if the New York Knicks had decided to play basketball and not try to concentrate on me scoring 100 points, I might have had 140, 150.
So now it's crunch time, and despite double and a triple teaming by the New York defenders, Wilt continues to pile it up. Once again, Bill Campbell at the mic as Wilt closes in on 100.
165 to 144, and Knowles makes the next one. The Warriors are now within 8 points of the all-time team total. Larisi with the ball down the right side, passes to Chamberlain. He's open, he shoots, he scores. 167 to 145. He has 98.
The time was running out on Wilt and Wilt. The Warriors, and they were now feeding Chamberlain at every chance. And for history's sake, and also for trivia buffs, the name is Joe Ruklick. He was the man who picked up the assist to help establish one of the great records in sports history.
He shot a jump shot from about 4 or 5 inches from the basket, and it went in softly. There were two guys on him because New York had been ganging up on him all night, and I was free for a minute because they were trying to foul Guy and Al, and Wilt moved like a ballet dancer, busted the guy off his hip, got clear for an instant, and I gave him the pass, and he floated up and lifted it off his hand.
The last frantic seconds of that contest described by Bill Campbell. Moments that are recorded in Springfield, the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame, as Wilt scored for eternity.
167 to 146. Now let's see if they foul somebody quick. Rogers throws long to Chamberlain. He's got it. He's trying to get up. He shoots. No good. The rebound, Luckenbill. Back to Chamberlain. He shoots up. No good. In and out. The rebound, Luckenbill. Back to Ruklick. Into Chamberlain. He made it.
Along with the mark came one of the most historic photos ever taken in pro sports. Wilt in the locker room holding up the number 100, a handwritten sign. Now, Harvey Pollack, statistician extraordinaire, was at the time the PR man for the Philadelphia Warriors, and he recounts the hectic post-game scene.
Now, when the game ended, I had to write a one-paragraph lead for the Inquirer and ship it up to the Western Union man. Then I ran to the dressing room, where, you know, all the media that were there were crowding around Wilt, and the photographers were wanting to get a picture of him. So I took out the piece of, like, copy paper, wrote a 100 on there, and handed it to Wilt.
He handed it to Wilt, the Warriors winning the game 169-147, as Wilt shot an incredible 36 for 63 from the field, 28 for 32 from the line. And when we spoke to him years ago, he seemed somewhat embarrassed about the amount of shots he took. 63 shots is something that he never thought he would do in a game.
As the time goes by, I feel more and more a part of that 100-point game. When it first happened, you must understand, I'm from the streets, and when you threw up 63 shots in the game, you're considered to be a gunner, you understand? And I always looked at that as me having my best day gunning. You know, not really performing, you understand? But it has become a handle, and I begin to realize just how and what I did. But what you must understand, that 100-point game wasn't a single man's achievement, as I've been trying to tell people for years. It was a team effort, and the guys on my team went above and beyond the call of duty to make it happen for me.
It took a long time for an NBA player to reach 73 points in a game, and that was David Thompson for the Denver Nuggets against Detroit in 1978. So we did ask the Dipper if he felt someone could duplicate his feet.
Well, you know, I actually believe that they can. You know, I think that any great athlete, let me give you an example. There was a guy named Walt Wesley who played for the University of Kansas, and ended up playing with Cincinnati. He averaged, I think, for his career in the pros, about 3 points a game. But one game, he had 50. I mean, when you think of him going over his average, well, if he can get 50 in the 50 and he only averaged 3 points a game, then any great scorer on a hot night, he might be able to score 100.
However, many doubt that today's players, who view 50 points as a huge night, or maybe 60 if you're Shaq, many doubt that this mark will ever be broken by today's NBA players. Dikembe Mutombo, the starting center for the Philadelphia 76ers, scoffs at the notion that anyone can ever get 100 points in a contest.
It was never going to be broken. Whoever's going to do that, I would ask myself, was he playing by himself, or was he playing against the other five guys on the other team?
In baseball, Babe Ruth's home run record has been obliterated. Scoring records shattered in the sport of hockey. Scoring marks in the NFL in the 1960s have been torn apart. Wilt's 100 points in a game could stand the test of time. Warrior teammate Joe Ruckland.
I think it was the greatest single sports achievement ever. People talk about it all the time to me. We talk about five home runs in a game. That's five swings of a bat, or a dozen touchdowns in a game, which pretty much looked the same. But what Wilt did that night was extremely complex. It was unimaginably complex because of the number of guys on him and the things he had to do every time he came down the court.
March the 2nd, 1962, the date that Wilt Chamberlain separated himself from all other athletes. He's all over the NBA record books. Witness his 55 rebounds versus Boston in 1960. But it is this scoring mark for which he is remembered, and it is well deserved. 100 points, one game, one player, one record that may stand forever.